could come today. And we ought to live that way, shouldn't we? We ought to be ever watchful for him to come when he returns. If you're saved, that means you've repented of your sins and believed on Jesus Christ. You will go up in the air with him in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. As fast as you can blink your eye, that's how fast the rapture is going to take place. And the greatest thing about that for the believer is the last few words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, that's going to be a great, great, great day. And we're looking forward to it. The Bible says it's the next event on God's calendar. There's nothing that needs to happen in this world in order for Jesus to come back. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for the Father to say, go. And when he does, the Son's coming back. Boy, as believers, we have great hope because of that. It's good to see each and every one of you today in the service. We welcome our guests and visitors. We're thankful that you took time out to be with us in this service. We'll take time to introduce you in just a moment. It's good to see Halden and Landon Brubaker back. And Halden, good to see you today. Been a few weeks. I know the last time you were here, I was not here, so... it's good to have you in service, both of you in service today. There's some other folks that we will introduce in just a couple of moments. We thank the Lord for those that got to go down to help Pastor Hayes out down in Walkersville, Maryland yesterday, distributing flyers and things for their special upcoming services. Thank the Lord for all those that did go and for God's safety and the bus working right. And in order for a bus to work right, it's got to have maintenance, doesn't it? And so Dave Latterman has been putting in hours of maintenance on our shuttle bus, and everybody got to enjoy that yesterday. But Dave, we thank you for your labors and many, many hours of working on the bus. Any update on Carol Shaw? Emily, did you hear anything else as of Friday? So she has that important appointment. Remember, those of you that have been praying, that important appointment regarding the taking of her leg. And so they want to remove her leg because the tumor is wrapped around the sciatic nerve. And so she's one of our missionary wives, children, young children. And just pray for Carol. I know many of you have been praying for her. And then Jim Corbett, many of you know Jim and, Joyce, that's it, Jim and Joyce. I'm getting closer to 50, and that means that this thing doesn't work all right. And so pray for them. They've got a lot of physical needs that they're bearing. And so we want to remember them in prayer. Let me talk to you a little bit about next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we kick off a new to the church class. We have a bunch of people that are relatively new. When I say new, some of you have been here 3 months, 6 months, whatever. But we'd like you to be a part of that class. It begins at 5:30. And it's down in room number one. So if you take the back stairwell and go down to the bottom and take a left, it's right there. And Brother Jerry McCleary, one of our deacons, will be teaching the first 2 weeks of that class. I will be teaching the last 2 weeks. It's very, very good class for those of you that are new because we want you to learn about the church. And we want to get to know you. And so we invite you to be a part of that. We'll review the history of the church. We'll review the doctrine of the church. We'll review the leadership. We'll review what makes Mount Zion different from other churches. We'll review some Baptist distinctives, a bunch of different things that we review in that class. And we'd love to have you be a part of that. And so if you'd plan on that, we give all kinds of different resources to you during the class. And it'll be a great time together over the next 4 weeks, beginning next Sunday night. Please be reminded of that. Some of you have been through discipleship studies and on the back end of completing those, and we're excited about that. But as we've talked with some of you, probably the next good step for you, if you've completed those, is to get in the class. If you've not completed discipleship studies, that doesn't mean you can't attend the class. We want you to be able to attend the class. If you've just gotten saved, though, and you would like to start Bible study together, we have 7 weeks of Bible study that we do with new believers. And so we want to make that available to you. And you can talk to me about that on the way out today, either one of those things. If you have questions about either the Bible studies for new believers or the new to the church class, please see me. I'll be in the back shaking hands on the way out today. We continue to pray for Larry Fainus. Kathy's here. Kathy, give us an update. No change yet. So we're praying that the God would use the antibiotics to begin to clear his head a little bit, let him have a little bit better balance, be able to hear. And so let's continue to pray for him. Stand with me this morning. Good to have all of you in service. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we get started today. Father, we do love you. And Lord, any love we have for you is only the result of you first loving us. Lord, your word teaches us that. And so, Lord, one of the ways that we express our love to you is by our commitments. And Lord, today, these people that are gathered here, Lord, are gathered here, Lord, for purpose of worship. Lord, to set aside the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, to be able to give to you today in offerings. And Lord, to be able to respond to, Lord, the preached word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will meet needs, Lord, by way of live stream and also in this building today. Lord, we have junior church going on downstairs. Help Brother Dustin as he preaches, Lord, and I pray that you'll give children in our church an understanding, Lord, of truth today down there. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding. And Lord, understanding in the sense, Lord, of what the Bible says and, Lord, how it applies to our individual lives. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, accomplish that great miraculous work in this service? Lord, often we pray for those that are lost that might be with us. Lord, that means they would be without Christ. They would be sinners, Lord, that have not yet had their sins forgiven through the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there is people like that under the sound of the preaching this morning, I pray that you would convict and you would draw. And Lord, I pray that they might put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved this day. What a glorious day that is, Lord, when we look back on the day that we got saved. Maybe, Lord, today in this service, you want to save somebody. So, Lord, set our hearts on you today, Lord. As we sing songs, Lord, I pray that we'll think about the meaning of the words and our hearts will be full of thanksgiving, Lord, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing. Take your songbooks. We'll sing together this morning. God bless you.
Song number 90 in your songbooks. We'll sing all three verses. Come, Christians, join to sing. 90 in your songbooks. Together on the first. Be seated.
Well, again, we'd like to give you a warm welcome to Mount Zion Baptist Church this morning. It's always good to gather with the church body. It's always good. Of course, the Lord commands us, but boy, it just lifts your heart when you can gather with the fellow saints and just lift the songs to Him, hear the preach word of God. Well, we are glad you are all here. Very glad for our visitors today. It's so good to have all of you. And again, good to have Halden and Landon. Good to have you guys. It's also good to have, if I get this right, Kip and Joanne Lucian. They're back here. Just wave your hand. They're back here. Kip and Joanne, it's good to have you. Amen. Good to meet you this morning. You need to get by and shake their hand, meet them. And then also Stephen Herndon is back here right in front of Lisa Dirks. Stephen, this is like second week here or something like that, and it's good to have you here with us. Amen. We just want to welcome you. Don't want to embarrass anybody. It's good to have, let's see. Zach is here with us again, Zach Heindel. If you haven't met him, get back there and meet him. And, of course, always good to have Nicole's grandparents with us, the Halls, okay? So it's good to have them. You know, 1 year old, Nicole, so there you go. Good to have you folks with us here. I'm wondering if I missed anybody. Caleb Krukart, it's always good to have you with us. So good to have you. And I'm wondering if I missed anybody. Your first-time visitor, you brought somebody with you on this side. About on this side. All right, well, this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to stand, shake somebody's hand, welcome them to church this morning.
As you make your way back to your seats, turn to hymn number 420, hymn number 420 in your songbooks. And this particular hymn paints the Christian life as being out on the sea, so to speak. And it talks about troubles, it talks about tempests, it talks about our soul, and then on the chorus, it talks about our anchor holding. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, and that's speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. So in storms, you have anchor. And we sing about it here. Sing with me verses 1, 3, and 4, just before the ushers come. Verses 1, 3, and 4. Together.
Though the angry surges roll on my tent,
those words at the end of the first number one, how long can this anchor endure? Evermore. There been a situation where you don't think you can take it any longer or any more? That's a good time to get your eyes on the anchor, because the anchor will hold forevermore. He says the second line there, verse 1, I am peaceful, for I know. You know where peace comes? From knowing the anchor. Let's sing the third verse. I can feel the anchor fast. Together,
I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. I safely ride till the turning of the tide, and it holds.
Best voice, and think about those words together. Together,
troubles almost from the soul.
Got to see that this weekend at a funeral. I saw a man married for 65 years who lost his dear wife. But I saw the sweetness of the anchor holding in his life. And looking to the Lord, finding the Lord to be everything that he needs. Maybe one of the most difficult things in life is when somebody loses their soulmate. That's a storm. But there's an anchor. He knows the anchor. Hope you know the anchor this morning. Good message and song. Let's bow for prayer. Brother Jim, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated.
ahead and take your songbooks now. Stand with me. Page 170, Saved by the Blood. We'll sing the first, third, and last verses of 170. Together on the first of 170. When we get to the chorus, together on the last. Maybe seated.
I wandered lost, lost and self I tossed, with inherited death the cost of my sin, guilt, and shame. Then came Jesus with bursting light to my heart where he banished night. In my guilt I cried out to Christ. He declared me set free. I'm an heir of heaven. I'm a child of
your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. When you have found Psalm 107, would you stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 107, I'm going to start reading in verse 23. Psalm 107, starting in verse 23. The Bible says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all of the truths of your word. We thank you for your word. Your son says, your word says, thy word is truth. We know that it is. God, we thank you for these words that can and should cry unto you in our distresses, Lord. Go through distresses. Lord, we know you're a great God, and Lord, you will bring us out of our distresses. Lord, also come to you and ask, Lord, if there's one among us this morning that is not saved, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, has not taken Jesus Christ as the payment for their sin, I pray that this morning they would do just that. Lord, because your word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for all of us. God, I thank you for the perfect word that we hear preached right now. God, I ask you be with our preacher as he brings to us this message. I pray that you would help us listen intently for what you have for us this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I got it. Got the information to everybody in the Sunday school hour, but those of you that didn't know, Newton Finley passed away. With that, his arrangements are for this coming Tuesday. There'll be a viewing here at the church from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. and then a funeral at 1 o'clock. If you would like to be a support to the family, invite you to be a part of the service or the viewing. Be a burial out here at our cemetery, and then a light lunch to follow on Tuesday. Be reminded of that. We're in Psalm 107. Psalm 107 was written as a call to praise addressed to those who are redeemed in the Lord. In other words, its audience is those that are saved people, and they are called to give God praise. In this psalm, there are four different analogies that the Spirit of God uses to communicate God's intervention in our lives. First of all, in Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9, if you read those verses, he delivered some from wandering in the wilderness. They were unable to find their way. They were hungry. They were thirsting. They were dying. They cried to the Lord, and he led them to safety. In Psalm 107, verses 10 through 16, we read that the Lord released prisoners from bondage. So not only did he deliver those that were wandering in the wilderness, but he also delivered prisoners from bondage. Those who were chained in dark prisons because they had rebelled against God were freed when they cried out to God in their darkness. In verses 17 through 22 of the same chapter, it pictures God restoring the sick, delivering the sick from death. In fact, you read about it in verse number 17. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And the Bible says that he sent his word and healed them in verse 20 and delivered them from their destructions. Did you know that sometimes sickness comes because of sin? That's what he's painting the picture of here. But they cried unto him, and in their trouble, in their sickness, he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then the fourth analogy here is in verses 23 through 32, where God delivers sailors who are at trouble in the sea. In each case, the people pleaded for the Lord to help them out of their distress, and he did so. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, then they cried unto the Lord. When did they cry? In their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Look at verse number 13. Psalm 107, verse number 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Look at verse number 19, summarizing that sickness in their lives. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Look at verse number 28, describing the sailor at sea. Then they cried unto God, or unto the Lord, in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Four times, four different analogies of God working in people's lives, people who are in storms. In fact, the word here used is distresses. It's used in verse 6, it's used in verse 13, it's used in verse 19, it's used in verse 28. It's plural, meaning that we often face multiple things that bring anguish to the soul, that narrows our thought life, and dominates our thoughts and our emotions and our outlook. For the word distresses means to narrow. In other words, before a distress comes into your life, you're pretty free in your soul. I'm talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. But when a storm rises up and a distress happens in your life, and by the way, they come unannounced many times, what happens? Your mind narrows, and it narrows on that distress. Here, the Bible's describing people who are living in distresses, plural. Our distresses are often tight places where we are cornered into a corner
And sometimes we feel like the enemy is closing in on us, or our world is falling apart, so to speak. In each case, the psalmist urged the people to thank God for his goodness and his wonderful works. I want you to see it, Psalm 107, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Drop down to verse number 15. You see almost the verbatim. In fact, it is verbatim. The same words, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 21, in that situation that people might face, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 31, again, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." See, your life this morning can be described as being out on sea. Out on sea. This matter of being a sailor in the days of the psalmist was a dangerous business. A man who went on a voyage by way of ship couldn't be sure if he was coming back or not. Spurgeon commented on this text and said, "We never read in the scriptures of any man taking his pleasure on the sea. It wasn't a place of pleasure like it is today that people jump on cruises and go all over the world and visit all kinds of sites. Not in Bible days, it wasn't like that." So, we do not hear of even Solomon himself keeping a pleasure boat. The Mediterranean was the great sea. The Bible here is describing sailors on the sea. In fact, somebody that went to sea in the psalmist's day was more likely to commit himself to God than people that board even a great ship or a plane in our day. Almost like going to battle. Brother Bobby Rogers works with the Civil War Ministry and goes into reenactments, and this past weekend was up at the Civil War Museum on Saturday and got to give out a number of gospel tracts. But Brother Bobby, in some of those situations, he preaches a message that would have been preached to soldiers before they went out to battle, understanding that this could be the last day in which they live. When people went out to sea, they lived with that reality that I may not come back to my family. I may never return. I may end up in the bottom of the sea. Horatio Spafford is a songwriter of one of the great songs in our hymn book called "It Is Well With My Soul." His wife and children went out to sea. When they went out to sea, that boat had a problem and sunk, and they died. As a result, he passed over that place in the sea where they drowned and wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." But it came as a result of a storm, a literal storm, in their lives. I remember one time fishing on Lake Erie. I grew up on Lake Erie. And so with that, we had a 15-foot fishing boat. Not big. V boat to cut through the waves. Small motor, 25-horsepower motor. But it got the job done. We would go out and anchor. We would catch a couple hundred perch. We would go out and troll. We would catch some big walleye. We loved to go out fishing on the lake. Except if a storm came up. And a couple times, storms came up. We didn't have a big motor, so if a storm came up and the waves moved up to 4 to 6 feet, it took us forever to get to shore because of the storm. It's an odd thing to be out at sea when a storm rises up. Trying to move around in a boat, in a tumultuous sea creates a great feeling of danger and uncertainty. It is a helpless feeling, when you are out at sea and a storm stirs up. First of all, there's no shelter. There's no quick way out of the ocean or lake. Bill Gudermoos here, he's a fisherman. You ever been in a storm, Bill? Ever been in a storm at sea? You know what I'm talking about. It can create a feeling of being overwhelmed, and also the waves can cause seasickness on top of all that. It is not fun. One time we were out, and my sister Heidi had broken her jaw, And so she had her mouth wired shut. The only thing she could taste for 6 weeks was soup broth and milkshakes and anything that's liquid. And we're out at sea and a storm rises up. And she gets sick with her mouth wired shut. And it's dangerous just to be in the boat. It's now there's a greater urgency to try to get to shore, but you can't go faster than what your motor will take you. And so all kinds of things that can happen at sea. You know, life is much like that. We don't get to choose to be out of the sea or in the sea. We are in the sea. And we face waves of life. Our text tells us about a storm that came up on the sailors in their ship. In the storm, the great waves were created and rose very high. There's a great truth in this message I want you to see in this passage this morning. It's found in the two personal pronouns of the passage. Would you look at the text carefully with me? You see the pronoun in verse 23, they. They. And then that's followed up in verse 24 with these. And it's found again in verse 26 with they, twice used, referring to the sailors. We could say referring to us. And we find they reel to and fro, stagger like a drunk man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And so we see they. But we also see he. Look at verse number 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. In verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You see, the they in the passage guarantees distresses in your life. But the he guarantees deliverance from the distresses in your life. This morning I'm preaching on this thought, deliverance from your distresses. Deliverance from your distresses. As a believer, you serve the God that is able and willing to deliver you from your distresses. What truths from Psalm 107 does God want to give you this morning to bring encouragement, hope, courage, and patience in your distresses? Because there are distresses right here. If there's people, there are distresses. There's a certainty that people are going to go through distresses. That's what this whole chapter is about. Whether it's the wilderness, or whether it's sickness, or whether it's the sea of life, it's described in four different ways that people are going to go through distresses. Taking notes this morning, write these thoughts down. Number one, the purpose for the storm. The purpose for the storm. Look at verse 24 of Psalm 107. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Can I tell you this morning, God has power to cause the storm. He does. In fact, if you look at Psalm 107 and drop down to verse number 39, again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Now in verse 38, he blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. But on the other side of things, he sends storms and they minish. They bring life, they reduce life to trouble. To hear oppression, that's tremendous pressures that people face. And affliction, that's tremendous pain that people face. And sorrow, that's the grief, that's the deep, deep, heartfelt sorrow that people face. You know what? God's in charge of all those things, according to the Scriptures. Here, he commandeth in verse 25, and raiseth the storm wind, doesn't he? The Bible says that, which lifteth up the waves thereof. The Lord sometimes sends his saints to the sea of soul trouble. Bible says in the New Testament in Mark 6 that he constrained the disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side, and I guarantee he had foreknowledge a storm was coming. Sometimes there are storms that God uses in our lives. Those distresses are controlled by God, and may I say this morning, he has purpose for your distresses. You may look back to just a few months ago or a year ago. Your life was a glassy, smooth surface. It's good to be able to enjoy days like that. But oh, it seems as though God commanded the raising of the stormy winds in your life. And all of a sudden, the sea is broken. You ever gone to an ocean and one day it seems relatively calm, and the next day, well, I mean, those waves are coming and they are crashing against shore. It changes in a day. It can change in an hour on the sea. And it can change in your life just that quick. Just that quick. Whereas the winds and waves were lying down in quiet before, the waves rise in their might and they leap towards the sky. As soon as the howling of the wind awakens them. Thus, it needs but a word from God, and the soul is in troubled waters. Your soul, I'm talking about this morning. It's tossed to and fro with multiple afflictions and doubts and fears and terrors and anxieties. Lift their heads like so many angry waves. When the Lord allows the storm winds to affect our sea. Certainly in our text, this is made clear. Are there, preacher, divine purposes for my storm? There are. You see, the truth is, without being on the sea of life and facing storms, we would be limited in what we would see as the works of the Lord. You see, our text says in verse 24, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. The storm, the distresses in your life sets the stage for God to work miraculously in you. Let me say this. That doesn't mean that he always erases the storm. But it does mean that he can work in you miraculously in the storm. And we see the works of God in us. And we see the works of God when he delivers us out of the storm. We see the works of God. I was thinking about Newton today. Newton graduated to heaven. He was delivered. And he's seen the works of God in a totally new light on the other side. He's seen the work of God in his creation of heaven. You and I haven't seen that yet, but Newton's seen that. He's seen the works of God. Your storm sets the stage for God to work in you in a miraculous way. Preacher, I don't like storms. I don't either. But it sets the stage for what God wants and needs to accomplish in us, doesn't it? We see that they see the works of God. The purpose often of a storm is not only that it sets the stage so that we can see the works of the Lord. By the way, the end of each one of these passages says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Or in other words, when you come out of the storm, what do you see? But you see God's wonderful works in the storm. Oh, that we would praise God when we come out of the storm because of what he did in the storm, in us and through us and for us. The purpose often of a storm is not only to set the stage for God's works, but it's also to show us how fragile and frail we are to face life's troubles. It often reveals how powerless we are. You know, you get out in a storm, you all of a sudden realize this lake or ocean is pretty big. And it has a lot more power than I have. I can't even control the direction of the boat. I can't even hardly make any headway shore. These waves get big enough, they're going to flip this thing like a cork in the water. They're going to control this boat. Storms bring us to the reality of our inability to handle life by ourselves. And brethren, there is a tendency in every one of your lives and my life, and that is to be self-sufficient. That is to live my life independent of God. That's true for every believer here. You have that tendency. You have that tendency to forget God. You have that tendency to forget to be thankful. You have that tendency to presume that the next day is going to be just perfect like this day was, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You have the tendency to think, I can make it through on my own. I've got wisdom for this situation. And my friend, I want you to understand this morning, the storms come to reveal that we're not self-sufficient. That we're frail. I have no idea how to handle this situation. You're in a good place. God brings us there through the storm. The purpose of the storm is not only to show us that life is, that we're fragile and frail, not only to set the stage for God's works, but the purpose of the storm is to turn us to God for help. Look at Psalm chapter 88. If you will. Psalm 88. Here is someone that is a psalmist that is expressing a very, very strong storm in his life. He says in verse number 6, Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. The waves keep coming. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. In other words, there's a broken relationship in his life. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. I wonder where that's going to drive him. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. What do storms do? They drive us to call on the Lord. At least they should. A godly response to your storm is for you to cry out in a helpless heart to the Lord. That's what we have in Psalm 88. So the purpose of the storm, the purpose of the storm this morning. Secondly, if you're taking notes, look at the perplexity of the storm. The perplexity of the storm. The word perplexed or perplexity means the inability to deal with something complicated. Now, if you're on the sea and a storm rises up, you're immediately on your weather band trying to figure out, you know, where the storm is moving, which direction is it moving, how much territory is it covering, what are the winds going to get up to. Usually on the weather band, you will hear waves are going to go to whatever feet high. You're looking at all different aspects of the storm because the storm has a direct impact upon your life and anybody else that's in your boat. And so you're looking at all the different complexities. And to find all those complexities is okay, but guess what? You're not going to solve all those complexities. You're not going to go, I need to change the wind direction because my boat needs to go that way and it's blowing me out to sea. I think I'll try to change. You're not going to do that. you're perplexed. Usually the more information you get, the more perplexed you become, because the word perplexity means the inability to deal with something complicated. More information's coming to you and you're realizing, I don't have any answers for any of this. It's an entangled state. It's a state of confusion, complicated, difficult situation. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, there's the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Perplexed gets you to a point where you have no way out. Here's what it means. It means in your storm to come to a place like this, I'm at a loss mentally. You ever heard yourself say in your heart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's the perplexity of a storm. The perplexity. Notice in verse number 27 of Psalm 107, go back to our text. The Bible says, in fact, we'll read verse number 26, they mount up to the heaven and they go again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Or in other words, the waves are so high that these sailors are going up and they're coming way low. And they're going up and they're coming way low. And as a result of that, their soul melteth for trouble. That means they are ready to fall apart. Emotionally, they're ready to fall apart. Mentally, they're ready to fall apart. Their mind cannot think concrete answers to the situation that they're in. Years ago in 9/11, there were people that were jumping out of the skyscrapers that were hit. World Trade Center. Jumping from way up in those floors. You know what? They were perplexed. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know what to do. I guess my best option is to jump and lose my life that way. They were perplexed. They were at a loss mentally. Friends, can I tell you this morning, storms get that intense in our lives that sometimes we don't know what to do. In fact, the Bible describes it in verse 27 as they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Death is imminent. Destruction's going to happen. I have no way out. That's perplexity. Storms made fierce waves, and these waves became a great power in themselves, which could destroy the ship on which the sailors were. The sailors in this passage become unstable and hopeless. Our storms and the intense waves of life often throw us around and cause us to stagger in an unstable situation with great threats. Do you find yourself frightened? Even perplexed some this morning because of all the signs and effects of your storm? You find yourself weary, dispirited, hopeless of escape, heart turned to water, melting inwardly in these spiritual cyclones. We face a variety of different feelings, emotions, soul trouble. It seems in the intensity of the storm that there's no heart left for anything. Courage is gone. Hope is almost dead. Such an experience is as real as the tossing of a literal tempest, and far more painful. Some here may be weathering an internal hurricane, a storm of health, or loss of health will do this to someone. The storm one of a loved one experiencing unprecedented hurt will have intense waves to it where you will reel to and fro. The storm of a wayward child will present waves that crash to the very heart of your soul. The storm of a financial reversal or medical bills that seem insurmountable will create waves that often will cause you to come to wit's end. The storm of what ifs will create waves in your mind that cause you to lose courage and hope. The storm of a personal tragedy or disaster will cause a soul to melt instantly. The Bible says in Mark 4:37, describing that sea experience for the disciples, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Or in other words, the storm had taken over the ship. Is it true in your life that your storm is taking over your life? There's the perplexity in the storm. There's the purpose of the storm. There's the pleading in the storm. The pleading in the storm. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Preacher, I got this going on. I don't know what to do. And you know what? Sometimes I sit across from the desk and I don't know what to do either. I don't know what to tell them to do or you to do in some cases. But there's always one good response in the storm. And that is to cry unto the Lord. Prayer is best in the storm. We may pray staggering. We may pray reeling. We may pray when we're at our wits' end. But God will hear us amid the thunder and the waves in the midst of the storm. You see the phrase, in their trouble? I wonder if you feel overwhelmed, like your soul's covered with waves. Wits' end. You don't know if you can handle one more wave in your storm. There's nothing you can do to save face. There's nothing you can do to change the landscape of your storm. The winds are coming in the wrong direction. They're too heavy for your life. They're too much. There's no strength to deal with that storm in your life. You feel like a little vessel at the mercy of the raging deep, and all hope is lost in your life. Many, many hymns express the Lord's storm-calming power and his loving guidance in the storm. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. You say, well, preacher, I mean, that kind of seems oversimple to pray. It's not oversimple when it's crying out to the Almighty God that is interested in you. It's not oversimple. The disciples in Matthew chapter 8, where the ship was covered with the waves, his disciples came to him and awoke him and said, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Lord, save us. We perish. When the waves of death come past me, in 2 Samuel 22, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in your storm that you can cry to God and your cry will go into his ears? Because there's testimonies in Scripture of people that faced their distresses and they had nothing else they could do but to cry to the Lord. The pleading for saving me. You know, if you're here without Jesus Christ this morning, you're in a great, great storm. You're in a great storm that should well up in your soul and trouble your soul about eternity. Eternity is a long time. And every person here, according to the scripture, is going to die one day physically. And the reason that's true is because of sin. Sin bringeth forth death. Your sin and my sin. And we're all sinners. And the Lord creates an internal storm in people's lives to bring them to, listen to these words carefully, the calm of salvation. And you may be here this morning, and when you think about eternity, that's life after death. You don't want to think about that. Like, I'm not going there in my mind. And the reason people don't want to go there in their minds is because it's unknown to them. It's scary. It's a storm. It causes turmoil on the inside. It causes fear on the inside. It causes a focus that becomes dominant, like what's going to happen to me after I die. That's a storm, my friend. That's a soul storm. But can I tell you this? God has an answer for that storm. And the answer for that storm is Jesus Christ died. And he suffered the greatest storm anybody's ever suffered on the cross. To die, sir, ma'am, for your sins. So that your sins could be forgiven and cleansed away so that you would be fit for heaven with the righteousness of Jesus. Now, my friend, if you're dealing with that storm, you by your own will can choose for that storm to continue on and on and on and on and on. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Anytime that thought comes to your mind, it's a torturous thought. Or watch this. You can cry out to God today and say, Lord, the storm of eternity is raging in my soul. And I don't know where I'm going when I die. But God, your word teaches me that your son, Jesus Christ, died in my place for my sin. And God, I'm crying out to you and saying, I believe your son's work of his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood is enough to deliver me from sin and the consequences of sin in a devil's hell someday. And Lord, I'm crying out to you to save me. My friend, if you cry out to God about that storm, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what happens? A calm, a peace floods your soul about that storm. My friend, can I tell you this morning, if you have that storm going off in your soul, there is no other calm but what Christ offers. They didn't cry to a priest in Psalm 107. And they didn't cry out to a pope. And they didn't cry out to a dead god. They didn't cry out to Buddha. They didn't cry out to the hundreds of gods in the Hindu religion. I want you to understand, they cried to the God of the Bible. There's only one living God that hears the cry, and it is the God of the Bible. And he only had one son, the only begotten Jesus Christ. And he's the one that died for your sins. He's the only one that can save your soul and bring that calm in that storm. Right. Salvation's a beautiful picture of the calm that God offers. I want you to see the power in the storm as we finish up this morning. The power in the storm. Verse 29 of Psalm 107. He maketh the storm a calm. Remember, the they in this passage is the sailors. But remember, the he in this passage is God. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He brought their distresses, and they did well to turn to him for the removal of them. And he now ordains the calm. He can in an instant change the condition of a man's mind so that it shall seem an absolute miracle that he passed from a hurricane internally to calm. He commands. Do you understand in your storm, God has the ability to speak it and bring calm to your storm and bring you calm in the storm? That's what we learn from this passage. As I was on my prayer retreat this week, I was led to Psalm 65, verse 6. I was praying over the people here, over the burdens. And this verse hit me in the woods, sitting on a rock, meditating, and opened the scriptures to this verse, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Who does that? God. Does that. He's the only one that can do that. You see, the storm has a cure in your life. God has not abandoned you. God doesn't jump ship in your storm. Storms are occasions for God to work miracles. He'll bring us through the storm. It says in Psalm 89:9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. The Lord is on high. He's mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And then the praise after the storm, verses 30 through 32. No one can appreciate verse 30 unless he's been in a storm at sea. Then are they glad because they are quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. See, the praise is not for the ship. The praise is not for the captain of the ship or for the sailors. But the praise is for God. Tonight in the evening service, we'll be starting off with testimonies. And if God's done something in a storm in your life, you know what the Bible says? It says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. God deserves our praise when he works in and through our storms. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. Wonder if you would say, preacher, in the message, I'm just thankful that he is in the text. That it's not just they, but it's he. Preacher, I see the purposes of the storm this morning. God has shed light on my storm to see the works of God, to bring me to the reality that I'm pretty frail, pretty fragile, pretty helpless. I understand that's a good place to be because it propels me to call out to him. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I have a storm that's raging in my life. But I can sense encouragement. I can gain strength from the word to press on. I'm reminded I'm not alone. God's not going to jump ship in my storm. I see this morning the best thing that I can do, the pattern in Scripture, is to cry unto the Lord. Preacher, I am facing a storm, but what you just said is true of me. The Word of God has strengthened me in my storm this morning. Would you raise your hand in this building if you're like that? Preacher, I personally am experiencing a storm. In my storm, I will cry to God. In my storm, I will praise the Lord. Preacher, I need God. Bring some calm and quiet to my storm. Listen, there are real distresses. But four times in Psalm 107, he delivered them out of their distresses when they called upon him. I want to give you a chance to come before the Lord this morning at the altar call if you're in a storm, to cry out to God this morning and to say, God, your purposes have been revealed to me. God, I don't want to get off course in the storm. I need you in my storm. God, I am perplexed. I am reeling at times. I am staggering, as the psalmist said. I'm at wit's end in my storm. Would you lay it out before the Lord this morning in just a moment? I wonder if you would say, preacher, I'm coming out the backside of a storm. I'm convicted that I need to give praise to God for his goodness to me and his wonderful works. I can see God's wonderful works in a storm that I've been in. Preacher, I am going to give God praise. Would you raise your hand if you're like that in this building? God is dealing with me this morning about giving God praise in my storm. I see it in Scripture. I see it as a pattern in Scripture in Psalm 107. Then I'm dealing with somebody here this morning that may be having the storm of eternity in your soul. That is, that when you think about life after death, that's a troubling thought. And Jesus is the calm for that in salvation. He wants to save you this day. You say, how does that happen, preacher? Happens in an invitation where somebody comes forward and one of our pastors is down below me here. Shake his hand and let him know, I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to get this storm of eternity settled. I'd like to have the calm in this storm. If you do that, if you walk an aisle this morning and shake the pastor's hand, if you're a lady, he'll get one of our ladies in our church and they'll pray with you, explain to you how to call out to the Lord in salvation. You'll get a chance to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, have all your sins forgiven, and a home in heaven reserved forever. If you're a man, you'll get a man in the church to do the same thing. My friend, you ought not to live through that storm any longer. You ought to find deliverance in that storm. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here and you say, preacher, I'm dealing with the storm of eternity. In my soul, I don't have answers for that. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen after this. I'm uncertain. I think I may go to heaven, but I don't know. I don't have certainty. Preacher, please pray for me. I would like to deal with that storm today in my heart. Would you raise your hand? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'll not embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to name you. But you would say, preacher, I'm dealing with that storm of eternity in my life. Would you please pray for me? I'd like to get saved and have the calmness that you described about eternity. There's somebody in this building. I'm scanning both sides of the audience this morning. Maybe you're by way of live stream and you're dealing with the storm of eternity. I want to invite you to bow your head before God where you're sitting right now and call upon God. Say, God, I'm a sinner. But Lord, you sent your son Jesus to die for me and to rise again from the dead. I put my faith in that. Would you please save me? I encourage you to do that where you're sitting right now. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you're the deliverer. Lord, you're the one that calms. Lord, you have purposes in the storm. God, would you minister to this people today? I pray, Lord, that needs would be met. I pray that encouragement and hope and courage and patience would be gained, Lord, as a result of the powerful word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed as the pianist plays this morning. If you're in a storm, I'm inviting you to an altar this morning. Would you come before God at an altar and say, God, I understand the truths in the Scriptures. God, I'm responding to them today. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to my soul. You need to use an altar. Would you do that in this moment? People continue to move to the altar. This is not an odd thing at Mount Zion Baptist Church. We use our altars. If God's dealing with your heart, boy, if he's ministered to your heart, bow a knee before him. Take time this morning to respond to him. Take your songbooks if you would. Hymn number 417, It Is Well With My Soul, an appropriate song to close the service with today. Sing with us on the first verse, hymn number 417. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Appreciate your attention to the Word of God. If it struck a chord in your heart and there's something I can pray with you about, or there's a need that we can help address in your life, in your soul, please reach out to us this week. And tonight in the evening service, don't forget, we start back in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 15 tonight. I invite you to the evening service at 6:30. Don't forget about the funeral arrangements for Newton Tuesday. Be praying for that service, right, Pastor Tubb?
Okay, choir practice tonight, 5:15 p.m. Choir practice is at 5:15. Tonight is also sing-along. Then don't forget to check inside your bulletin. Tuesday, men's work night. Wednesday, deacons meeting. And Thursday is the heart recital. Okay? You don't have to sign up to come. If you're participating, you need to see Pastor Jared pretty quick. But that's at 6:30 p.m. right in here. Would encourage you to come to that. See the talents that the Lord has given our young ones. That's this Thursday evening. We have a camp work day this Saturday. If you plan on attending that, I do need you to sign up. Do not forget that Tuesday is election day. Okay? God has given us the freedoms to vote. Let's use them. And so that's Tuesday. The polls are open at 7 a.m. Close at 8 p.m. Eric Haywood tonight will have a binder in the foyer that you can check out, okay, regarding the election. So please don't forget that is on Tuesday. Check your printed announcement sheet. There's a lot of important things on there. Pastor mentioned the new to the church class, and then also Emily Hoxie, or Emily Hoxie will be in the foyer this morning and tonight to sign up ladies for the ladies' banquet, which is coming up on Saturday, May 4th. High school graduates, if you have not picked up your graduation regalia in the church office, please do so. And then one more announcement. Don't forget that next Sunday morning for Sunday school, all Sunday school classes will be up here except for nursery, twos and threes and fours and fives. They'll be down in their classrooms. We're going to do a little evacuation talking. We're not going to evacuate. We're just going to talk through it, okay? That's next Sunday morning. JB, Bible Assembly or not this week. No Bible Assembly this week. I needed to point to Eric there. All right, any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Well, Eric Haywood, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.